pretty much. Sorry, by 8 points for me. I guess what I'm doing, I'm making the ads.
For what?
Yay!
For our website. Ooh. Jesus Christ. Well, the
Listen,
Patreon.
You want to fight? Just because you have a job now doesn't mean you're hot shit, okay?
No.
Hello, and welcome to episode 13 of Twinfinite Loop. My name is Moaz, and I'll be your host from now until the end of time. I am joined tonight with my two amazing co-workers, Andy.
Yeah, I'm Andy.
And Alyssa.
Hi.
Wow, none of you said thank you for the compliment, you assholes. Okay.
What did we say, even? Because I expect to be called wonderful co-host, like, at all times. So it wasn't anything different.
That should just be how you address us, like.
Yeah.
Oh, great and powerful Alyssa and Andy.
There we go.
Wow. Thank you, Moss. How nice of you.
In this week's episode, we are going to be talking about E3.
Yay!
It's sort of like a week late, but we were all sick and very exhausted and had work last week, so we could not record a podcast. So we figured we'd do it this week. Especially
it took me a week, but I'm finally back up to sleeping like a normal human being after E3.
I'm still not at that stage, but I'm getting more than 2 hours of sleep a night, so that's good.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was all of our first E3s, so what did you guys think of just the whole experience in general? Like, positives, negatives for the whole week, takeaways?
Alyssa?
It was actually really nice, which is weird to say because going into it, the entire time, Yami was like, guys, this is going to be so stressful. You're going to be so tired of going here to here to here. But, like, compared to, like, PAX Prime and PAX East, it was, like, taking that and taking all the stress out of it and just the fun part. So it was actually really enjoyable for me.
Yeah, I was never really stressed. And we were each pumping out 8 million things. And I felt good the entire time. In fact, like I mentioned, the most stressful part was when we were trying to pay for our food at Roscoe's, some restaurant that had nothing to do with E3, and I had a very pleasant time. And that hallway that I was told I would be walking past back and forth, I just found a shortcut through it, away from
that
it.
That wasn't really a shortcut. You just made.
Do you
want to
fight? It was.
You would buy food. It was way better.
It had food and it had fresh air.
I didn't want fresh air. That's
had Troy Baker. We walked by him like twice. That's a view.
Yeah, that's true.
I
really like to hang out near the food trucks.
I will say you need less fresh air at E3 than you do at PAX, because at E3 it seemed like everyone bathed regularly and put on deodorant and some sort of nice, fresh-smelling clothing.
I saw a whole 2 fedoras while at E3, which is, like, crazy. It was great.
I saw none.
It's a whole new world right there.
Yeah, it kind of weirded me out.
It was a fucking shortcut.
whatever you say. I think the reason why previous E3s are so stressful for Yami and whoever else went to E3 from the site was that this time we went with 4 people, so the workload was much more evenly distributed.
Yeah.
So we all had less to do.
Yeah.
Compared to previous years, and it's really the only way to go to E3 with a decent number of coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm
I can't imagine people who go like 1 or 2 people. Like that would be insane.
Oh, that would fathom.
I can't fathom that. I don't know.
What did you guys think of the conferences? Was it better going there in person? Better watching it at home?
I'm more of a watch the stream guy. I'm a fan of sitting back and with whatever, like food, and just watching, and then, you know, hopefully muting whenever it's like, and now we bring out someone that you don't want to hear speak for 10 minutes.
No, we went to, all three of us went to Xbox, all three of us went to EA, and then we all skipped Ubi, because screw that, and then I think I was the only one who went to Sony at the end of the day, right?
Yes.
Then we watched Sony on stream, and I was actually really surprised to find that Nintendo did their online thing, so they didn't have any of, like, the here's someone talking 100 years, and then Xbox, well, we went to the press conference, I was actually really surprised they didn't have anyone. It wasn't very boring, because it was more or less like what Nintendo did, except in person. So gather all these people, spend a lot of money to show the trailers one after another. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then we're watching the Sony stream, and I'm like, oh, they're still doing, you know, the stuff no one wants to see.
Yeah, I loved going to the Sony one, because, like, that felt like the pinnacle, like, E3 experience I used to watch on, like, Tech TV when I was a kid, like, seeing the Sony conferences when it all clicked for me. And then it went on for 2 hours, and I just wanted to go home and eat.
Yeah.
I think the Sony one probably was the most relaxed, at least at first, because there was food and drinks there, like, right before.
Mm-hmm. So free beer.
Yeah. So everyone was just kind of mellowed out after a long day.
Or amped up, because they're like, have a couple beers in them, and it's like, oh, Sony!
I go see the Sony TV.
So, like, they purposely amp, like, they're like, shit, okay, we want these people to clap really hard. What do we do? Free drinks! Free drinks!
Too loud, too loud. Get Brian Michael Bendis out here to talk about Powers.
Oh, sweet.
I felt so bad for him, because I like Powers, the comic book. I like him as a comic creator, and the stuff he was talking about was not bad at all. It just, E3 probably wasn't the best time for them to announce it.
Two guys in the row ahead of me were really hyped for that, and then they were like the only people in the entire auditorium who knew what he was talking about.
It is a very good comic book, and I would suggest people read it.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say that the Microsoft conference was pretty awesome, because they gave all the attendees these, like, plastic wristbands that were like, why are these so big and heavy? And then we sat down and they started lighting up different colors, and we were like, oh, okay, this is awesome. And then they were like synced to change colors with whatever was being presented at the time.
Yeah, it did nothing aside from look really cool.
Yeah.
And it ratted you out when you didn't clap too, because sometimes they're motion censored, so like everyone would be clapping around me, and I'd be like, oh god, they can tell.
Yeah, so I was more clapping, like, just for the sake of lighting it up, because I was like, oh, sweet.
Yes. And then they made a really good colorful ball back at the hotel, and we tied all of them together.
We spent way too much time bouncing that around.
No, we didn't spend enough time bouncing it around.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. We should have dropped it off the roof of the hotel a couple times.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, that would have been so awesome. Now I'm angry, because we didn't do it. The worst E3 ever, 2 out of 10.
I think my least favorite of the day was the EA conference. And not because the stuff they announced wasn't good. It was a good conference. It was just that they had, like, fundraiser-style seating where it's, like, tables. Like, circle tables, and everyone sits around it. And then once the tables were full, which was, like, 40% of the crowd, the other 60% just had to go, like, stand up in the back and, like, on the balcony on the second floor. And that's not what you want to do for an hour and a half in a very warm room.
It was mean.
It kind of, like, jaded me against what they were showing, too, because I love Mass Effect, and they're like, oh, that didn't show anything, and Mirror's Edge looks okay, and I was just bitter the entire time.
It is so sad, because, like, I saw empty chairs, but it was just, like, the effort that was required to get to those empty seats was just way too much.
I think at one point Yami, like, actually walked up to someone who was sitting next to an empty chair and said, oh, can I sit here? And they're like, no, it's taken. And then, like, nobody sat in that chair that entire time.
I would have tripped him and then stepped on their glasses, because I'm assuming they wear glasses.
Nerds.
All right. Any other E3 or LA experiences? Because it was my first time in LA in, like, 17 years. I don't know if it was your guys' first time in LA as well.
I went to Disney as a kid, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, that's San Diego, right? No, that's SeaWorld.
That's SeaWorld.
Oh, is Disney really in L.A.?
It's not in L.A. I'm pretty sure it's in Los Angeles County.
Awful.
Kind of then. Yeah. Video games, though.
Video games, yeah.
Video games. Right, I don't like L.A. I made this very clear when we were there. I still hate it. Yay! What an awful little city.
I didn't have a bad time. I enjoyed it.
It was like cold in the morning, and then in the afternoon it was stupid hot and humid, and then after that it was cold again. Like, why? Why would anyone live there?
No, the cold was fine. Like, the weather was perfectly fine. What I had a problem with was really expensive everything, and then, like, backwards ways of, like, oh, 21... And up for a bar that we're gonna close immediately, and like all kinds of things, and $6 shitty parties, and I don't know, and
I paid $7
just
for the
amalgamation
Bud Light.
Of everything that was just really weird, and I was like, so is this like what being out and about in LA is like? Because I'm not into this at all, and yeah.
See, in talking to my friends who live in that area, it seems like no one actually goes and hangs out in downtown LA because it's just all like business office buildings. They go to like the suburbs and do fun stuff.
That's what I would imagine. Anyone can make the suburbs fun. So I imagine if you grow up there, it'd be cool.
And probably a lot cheaper.
A lot cheaper. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, nothing will beat those $3 buckets of ramen we found like a block from our hotel.
Oh my god, yes, because I'd like to pretend that Koreatown is no longer near or in any way related to Los Angeles. Because Koreatown is fantastic.
Koreatown was a lot of fun. It felt like we were not in America because everything was in Korean, and I did not mind that at all.
And everything was cheap and reasonable and delicious.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So any final thoughts on E3 in general before we take a little break?
I thought it was a good E3.
It was pretty cool.
It was a good E3. I met LeVar Burton and I literally swooned. Like,
I was too mad at him.
I literally swooned. Like, I had to clutch the wall, otherwise I would fall to the ground. And then I took a picture with him. And then after that, I was shaking for like 30 minutes. And Alyssa is a witness to all of this.
I am. The whole LeVar Burton thing, I had been fighting valiantly all weekend to try to hands-on with The Sims 4 because they were letting certain people do the character creator. And they kept telling me to come back, so I finally came back. And he's like, all right, actually something came up, so we can't let you in. And then LeVar Burton walks out of the door, and I'm like equally mad and like surprised at this.
Jordy LaForge, though. If Jordy LaForge wants to cut me for anything, he can.
Anyone else, I would have been upset, but I mean, reading Rainbow.
Right?
I can get twice as high. Take a look.
You're just, don't sing it yet. We're gonna do that later. So we're going to take a quick break to hide some not bodies. And we'll be back in a second.
No, I don't want to leave.
No, shh. You have to. And we're back, everybody. So we hid the things we needed to hide. And now we all washed our hands and we're good to go.
Hey guys, welcome back to Turfinite Podcast. We're podcasting.
Podcasting. So right now we're going to talk about our favorite couple of games each from E3 because it was a very, it's been the best E3 I can remember, or at least from the last couple of years. As in the most stuff that I was excited about to try and play. So Andy, why don't you go first? Why don't you tell us about your favorite games or announcements from E3?
Well, naturally, the greatest announcement there was Zelda. Was Zelda. of course. I can't... So this is pretty much the end of the podcast. Thanks to everyone for listening.
We'll be back next week. And
it's all downhill from here. because nothing else was this beautiful. Oh, it was gorgeous. I absolutely loved that. But it wasn't playable or anything like that. So I guess the best game, like my three favorite games that I got to play at least, Splatoon was so much fun. It was a lot more fun than I expected it was going to be. It looked really cool. And it was a lot more, like, it is a really interesting little experience. And I can't wait to spend, to whittle away days on that game.
I talked to a lot of people and everyone said that it was a lot of fun. And I never got a chance to play it, so...
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Oh my god. Just as well. the new Guilty Gear is gorgeous. I got to play it at the Sony booth somewhere. I think it was running on a PS4. It was still, regardless, it was very pretty. Mm-hmm. Because if you guys ever play Guilty Gear, it's just, you know, it's like a 2D fighter, not like Street Fighter, but in the same vein, or, you know, like sprites like that, and they wanted to keep that, but still make it 3D. However, you know, when Street Fighter 4 made the transition to 3D, the game slowed down a little bit, considerably. However, they decided to not do that whatsoever. And if you're looking at it, you wouldn't believe your eyes, like, in person, because it seriously looks like it's two-dimensional. Until, like, maybe, like, a special move occurs, and then you see that the camera has shifted a little bit, and you're like, oh my god, what? That was 3D all along? It blows your mind. It was gorgeous how they do that. Aside from that, it fought very well. It was really, really cool. I still have a bone to pick with whoever it was that I fought with, because they have terrible fighting etiquette. It was a very good match. It was a very close match, and the son of a bitch. We finish up, and I'm like, oh, good game. Good game, good game. And, you know, instead of like, oh, hey, you too, or like, yeah, that was fun, he says, thank you. And I'm like, wow, holy shit.
Wow.
I want to slap you right now. I was having such a good time, and you ruined my day.
You should have been like, why don't you just spit in my face?
He probably would have. He was that rude. And he didn't even seem like that rude of a person until he opened up his mouth. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. But anyway, still a great game.
I would have fought him right then and there.
I just fought him.
No, I meant him.
And aside from that, I know, I wanted to so badly. And then my third game that I really loved was Captain Toad. Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker. That was so much fun. It was adorable.
Adorable.
I remember, yeah, I played it was as adorable as it was enjoyable. It was really... really cool. Those were always like really fun. There were only like five of them, but they were really fun little single player things in Super Mario 3D World. Mm-hmm. So then when just fucking expanding on it was just like such a brilliant idea. I didn't see that coming at all. And it was awesome. I can't wait to play it. Yeah. What about you guys though?
Harvest Moon happened. Harvest Moon 3D Lost Valley. I was like, I didn't care about the next-gen stuff going to E3. I just, like, I need my Harvest Moon, I need my Sims. And Harvest Moon looks great because they're taking a lot of, like, the older stuff from, like, Back to Nature and Harvest Moon 64 and stuff like that and trying to mix it with the newer stuff from, like, the 3DS games and stuff like that, and it actually is working pretty well so far. They're taking out a lot of, like, the annoying things, and they made it really cute again, and they're talking about, like, husbands and stuff, and I was really happy with that whole thing. And I'm probably the only one in the world who cares about that, but it was really, really great.
Watch, like, a giant swarm of Harvest Moon fans just comment, no, I like it too!
Oh my gosh. There are literally dozens of us.
There's literally six and a half of us.
And a half, we don't talk about that one. I played exciting games too. I waited in line for the order, which was actually worth it, mainly because it was really pretty, and, like, I know you can't, like, base how good a game is on how pretty it is or whatever, but this game was really pretty. like, Watch Dogs and everything kind of let me down with the next-gen thing, but, like, this actually felt like a next-gen game. It, like, the movement was all fluid in a way, and just the atmospheres breathed, like, something. This is an experience that you're getting. It doesn't have multiplayer, it doesn't have co-op, but you're getting this really strong single-player experience, and I'm really looking forward to that. I'm probably overhyping it, but it looked really, really, really cool.
That's what I'm kind of...
Dying Light was cool, too, yeah.
That's what I'm kind of disappointed in the order, how they took out the... Or not took out, but how they said there's no multiplayer. I feel like that would be the ideal, like, four-player co-op game where everyone gets their own character from the game, from, like, the trailer or whatever that came out.
Mm-hmm. You know, it could have been a really cool co-op thing, and I don't know. That really bums me out, too, but at the same time, I'm glad to not see, like, another game with, like, tacked-on multiplayer. So maybe this will be, like, a good, solid single-player experience instead of kind of dividing and conquering like some of the certain Assassin's Creed games that I've played recently.
So Harvest Moon, The Order, and what was the third one that you said?
Dying Light, which I actually didn't I didn't think about it or like hear about it or care about it before playing it, getting the assignment and playing it, but like it's like Dead Island minus all the bad stuff, plus all the good stuff from Mirror's Edge with a little bit of like DayZ mixed in. So it's like this really weird mash meld of zombie survival horror, parkour, awesomeness.
It seems like it would be disorienting. Like, I don't... The first-person platforming, I've never got the appeal or just how they do that.
Yeah, it was like it was Mirror's interesting.
Edge? Yeah, like Mirror's Edge.
It played a lot like Mirror's Edge in the way, but, like, it took a while because you have to, like, look at a ledge to vault at it, and it took... I'm used to just, like, Assassin's Creed kind of thing where you hold a button and you run up to a wall to jump up it. But this kind of actually takes some planning and some skill. But it, like, once you learn it and get the hang of it, it comes to you really easily.
Was it, like, just, you know, your generic wall climbing, or is it, like, actual parkour stuff?
It's, like pretty actual parkour stuff where there's just any ledge you can see, you can probably, like, jump to it, reach it. It's not, like, a standard just scurry up a wall. It's you have all these different routes you can take. You can hop up on rooftops or scaffoldings and go pretty much any direction you want to, hop fences if you need to. It's really, really open for how walled in it is, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it works.
That's good to hear. Was it freaky?
It was freaky. The night sequences, you have, like, your normal day exploration survival zombie stuff, and then at night, there's stupid, dumb, scary zombies that come out that have, like, a cone of vision in front of them that you have to sneak by. And I don't sneak, so, like... I was playing through that, and I tried to be all sneaky and everything. I got caught, and the guy who was walking me through the demo was just like, no, 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 just run right now. So I was, like, sprinting full, like, running over walls, and just, like, I had 10 of them chasing me by the end. And it was intense, but it was really great.
Wait, so they're, like, those fast runner zombies? They're not, like, the slow, shambling...
The nighttime ones are. Like, there's just ones that wander around exclusively at night. And if they see you, they'll chase after you, and they do massive damage, so you're supposed to try to, like, sneak past them and be more stealthy about them.
Nope.
Yep, nope. I loved everything but that, but even that was slightly enjoyable.
If it's not obvious by now, I am the office wimp. Like, I don't like scary stuff at all. Which is probably why I didn't volunteer to cover Dying Light, so thanks for that one, Alyssa.
Take a bullet any time like that.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I think with age, I'm developing this insensitivity towards the world and everything about it. And I'm usually actually really scared of things like that. And then I was there playing The Evil Within. Oh, granted, The Evil Within isn't super scary. There's still a couple moments that got me. But I was like, I'm holding up pretty well playing this game in the dark because they put us in... Before you walk in there's a really terrifying hallway you have to walk through with, like, some scary-ass projected lady in the background, who the fuck? And then you walk into the dark room with all the setups, and I was like, Yamile was like, and I'm like, whatever, okay, weird. It was good, though.
From reading your preview and talking to other games journalists that were at E3 and played it, it seems like they improved it a lot over what they showed at PAX East. And me and Alyssa went and saw.
Cool.
Because what we went and saw was just like, oh my god, please just end this so we can leave.
It's like, here's the Last of Us part of it, and here's the Silent Hill part of it, woo.
And there was this, like, disgusting gray filter over everything, and just...
No, I mean, it's still a little grainy, but like an old horror movie thing, it's not distracting. It's more just like, oh, it's pleasing, little aesthetic.
Yeah, no, what like we that. Saw was super, like, you could... They overdid it to an obnoxious level at East.
It didn't help that the guy playing it was just, like, so uninterested in everything going on.
It was, usually at presentations, what happens is they'll stop they'll finish playing the demo build, and then be like, all right, you have any questions? And just like talk to the group that's watching the presentation. But this guy finished it, put the controller down, got up, and just left. And it was like the first showing of the day. So if he was that bored at, you know, that early, you know, we weren't too...
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. But as far as my personal favorites from E3, I really liked Sunset Overdrive. And a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, that looks awesome, but I did not get a chance to play it. But I actually sat in line for about an hour and a half, and I ended up playing it, and it's amazing. I mean, the only thing I got to play was the story mode. They weren't doing the single player at all. They were only doing the multiplayer. They weren't doing the story mode at all. And it plays like this weird combination of Jet Set Radio and kind of Infamous, and with the weapons of Ratchet and Clank. And Jack and Daxter. It's this weird amalgamation of a bunch of like fun little games, and like everything is in the world has this weird bouncy quality to it, other than buildings and like concrete. So you can like jump off a car and use it as a trampoline, and then like jump off a tree, and then use your crowbar to kind of like slide down a rail, and then jump off, set off like a mortar, and explode some weird zombie things, and then grind this other rail, go back all the way around, and it was a lot of fun and very colorful.
Did it play as fluid as it looked in the trailer they showed or the gameplay they showed?
Yes. It's the first game that I played where all the stuff they showed you in the trailer you could actually do in the game. So like all the grinding stuff and like flying through the air and like hooking onto things and like sliding down them, you could actually do that in the game.
That did look like a lot of fun. I'm really excited to play it. I won't. I mean, yeah.
It's an only Xbox on One phone, exclusive, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I was like, oh, wait. I was gonna be like, I'm really excited to play it. Just kidding. Never mind.
Like 4 years or something. Who knows?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's going to move consoles for Microsoft, but people who learn and read about the game are really going to want to play it. And people who already have Xbox Ones will definitely buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks gorgeous and it plays amazing. And other than that, it was weird. Every appointment that I had, other than like one or two, were hands-off. So they were just presentations. And I got really sick and tired of that. Like, I wanted to play some of the games and not just watch someone play it. Like, The Witcher 3 looked amazing, but it was just an hour-long presentation with the guy playing the game. But it looked really good. It was an alpha build, and it looked better than anything that's out there on the market right now.
Oh, they were showing alpha?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yes, and it looked freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Like, there were, like, you could tell it was alpha, because there were hiccups here and there. But pretty much everything looked like what the final product should look like. And
it's kind of a segue, but I'm surprised that CG Projekt Red didn't show off that game, the Technopunk game they were talking about last year.
Cyber... What is it?
Yeah.
Was it just called
Cyber?
Cyber
Numbers.
Cyberpunk 20...
It was like...
Cyber? 2077, something like that.
Yeah.
Metro
really
2033.
I mean,
2001.
2001? What the hell?
A cyber odyssey.
No.
I'm being facetious. Go, continue. I'm sorry. Jesus.
I mean, I could tell why, because weren't they saying from when they announced it that it's completely going to be a next-gen game? Whereas Witcher 3 was kind of up in the air at one point, whether it would be cross-gen or just next-gen. But yeah, the extra time they're putting into it is just polish for the next couple of months, and it looks really good. So Witcher 3, look forward to that. And on that note, we are going to take another little break, unless you guys have any last-minute game names that you want to throw out there.
Smash Brothers. That's a given.
Oh my god, I'm so furious with you and Yami, because on Tuesday, I was like, I'm going to play Smash Brothers, and you said, no, we have an appointment on Thursday, don't go to the Nintendo booth at all, we have an appointment. And I was like, okay.
When they said that, I was literally standing in line for a Nintendo thing, and I got that text from Yami, and I just kind of like sadly walked away.
I walked away, and then you assholes kept me busy the rest of the week, so I never got a chance to go back.
I was literally, like, the whole way up to Thursday, every time I passed by the Nintendo booth, I'm just, like, screaming internally, just like, and then I got to play, and I had so much fun, and you didn't get to, and that's what makes it feel that much better. I was like, I was playing it the entire time, I'm like, oh my god, Moaz isn't playing this right now. Oh my god, great.
So, we're just gonna take a quick 4-hour break while I fly down to Miami and throw Andy off a bridge. We'll be back. Bye. Hey, everybody, and we are back. So that was a wrap-up of our E3 news, but since then, other stuff has happened. So let's just take a few minutes to talk about the other stuff. I know Alyssa was very excited for two things that happened this week. What were they, Alyssa?
Digimon happened. There's a Vita game coming out in Japan only right now called Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth. And it actually got a trailer, which all it's had thus far is a bunch of screenshots. But it looks freaking, like, gorgeous for a Vita game, and they're kind of making it, like, someone described it earlier as, it looks kind of like one of the Mega Man games, one of the, like, the GameCube one, right, I think?
Mega Man.
No, but, Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, the Game Boy Advance games.
Battle Network, yeah. Game Boy Advance ones. Oh my gosh, don't even.
Jeez,
but yeah, no, I think of, like, that crossed with, like, Digimon World 1, if you ever played that, which is probably the greatest game ever made. But it's looking like really good, and it's got like a bunch of the old like Gen 1 Digimon in it, and I'm really like fangirling over this, but I'm so happy right now that that trailer came out. It's kind of a boring trailer, but it looks pretty.
And why
hopefully that game will get announced for the US.
Yeah, if you listen closely, you can hear Alyssa peeing.
You don't even have to listen closely, man. Like that's all out there.
Whoa.
Podcast just went a whole different way.
I've always been confused why like a good Digimon game hasn't blown up, because it's just as fun as Pokemon. At least it was to me when I was a little kid. Sorry, I accidentally hit muted myself.
Okay.
So I never understood why Digimon never took off like Pokemon did in terms of games. Because it's kind of a much more interesting premise than the Pokemon games are.
I think Pokemon got their claws in there first, and then Digimon came along, and everyone's like, oh, that's just a spin-off. So it never really got the attention it did. But there were some really good games for the PS1, Digimon Worlds 1 and 3, are like these really fun, like, games like Digimon World 1, you go through and you raise your Digimon and you can evolve it down like all these like 30 or 40 like different paths, and you can get to like different levels and you train your stats to get like different things, and it's really expansive, and it's like it's nothing like Pokemon, but it's so goddamn good. And that's kind of what this new one's looking like too, so I'm really excited and hoping it gets localized, but I'm probably going to be crying.
don't cry. Andy is allergic to girls' tears.
Good.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow, she's like, I hope Andy just breaks out in hives and has to go to the hospital.
I'm shaking. I'm convulsing.
Already.
What was the other thing that you were freaking out about?
The other one. There are very few games I care a lot about games that no one cares about, but Resogun is probably one of the more like main channel ones. Resogun's so great.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It was.
Yeah, it's the game that kept me from regretting my PS4 purchase for, like, 6 months. but they announced that actually yesterday night or today, the story went up on Twinfinite, that they are giving a free update, which should actually be up now, and I should be playing that right now, that adds both local co-op in, so you can have two players playing Resogun at once together. And then they also have a ship editor, which is like a 3D grid that you literally place each voxel into and build your own ship that can pretty much be like anything you want it to be. And then you can download other people's creations and put all that into your game. Yeah, no, it's a free update too, so if you got the game for your MTS Plus, you're going to have that like on your system right now. And it looks really cool.
Well, I'm breaking into my
That's all. There's an expansion pack coming out next week called Resogun Heroes, and I think that's going to be I don't remember. It's going to cost money. I can't remember how much it's going to cost. Mm. But it's kind of like the segue between vanilla Resogun and Resogun Heroes.
Gotcha. I know, on like a tangent, I played Lego Batman 3 at E3, and there was this one level where you're in space, and it was exactly Resogun, just with Lego Batman. Lego Batman skin over it, and it was freaking amazing, and I loved every second
of it. That sounded like
it was a lot of fun. It was frustrating because I didn't know what to do for like a good 10 minutes, but once I figured it out, it was a lot of fun. But anyways, what's the other big thing that's been in the news this past week? The Steam Summer Sale. So have you guys bought anything? Looking forward to anything?
I bought Battle Block Theater, finally. I haven't played it, though. I had some money in my wallet from selling those cards. Mm-hmm. And bam, I picked it up for $3, finally. I was thinking about getting Skyrim for $5, and I'm like, you know what? I know that, because, I mean, I spent too long playing all of Skyrim on my 360, that I feel like while the prospect of starting a new game sounds great, I know once I start, I'm going to be like, oh, I remember this quest. Oh, I remember doing this. Mm. I remember this. Oh, God, I remember this. Oh,
well, I mean, on the PC, at least.
Never mind.
Like, I spend most of my time on mods on the PC. Like, user-created stuff is
amazing. Oh, that's true, but my PC's not powerful enough to really... I don't think my computer is powerful enough, though, for me to play with mods. Like, as much as I'd like to, though.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to buy it, but then I remembered that I have Skyrim and all the DLC on my 360, and I was like, I don't feel like buying the same exact game. So instead, I bought Terraria for
$1.99.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. How's that?
I have not played it. I bought a whole bunch of games. I spent like $4.75, bought a whole bunch of games, and I have not played any of them, or even installed any of them. They're just kind of sitting there, which is the point of the summer sale, isn't it?
I don't think I've played more than half the games I bought last year.
Oh, man.
I'm going to kill my roommate.
So, yeah.
All right, well, yeah, let's just wrap it up, then, I guess.
Thank you guys for listening and sticking with us for 13 episodes of Twinfinite Loop, where we keep you in the loop. This is going to be the last episode for about a week or two. We are transitioning over to a video cast, and we're going to just kind of tweak this formula a little bit and get a new cast in and kind of try to make it a little bit more interactive with you loyal Twinfinites. But we'll still be releasing like the audio portion of it on iTunes and whatever, so you can sync it to your mobile devices or computers or whatever you want to. But for right now, this is the last episode of the audio-only Twinfinite Loop, and we'll be back soon with a new and improved Twinfinite Loop where you can see our beautiful faces as we try to sabotage each other by drawing dirty things on whiteboards behind us while other people are trying to talk. Cool. Yeah.
Twinfinite Loop-de-Loop. Not really. That is not what it's going to be called, but...
It's not
going to be. Wouldn't that be cool?
No. No, it wouldn't be cool. Shut up. You're not allowed to name things.
Sweet.
Anyways, that is episode 13, everybody. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back soon. Bye!
Okay, bye!
Andy, no one wants to hear anymore. Just stop talking. Stop.